The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but they're a ton of fun. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think he is. Life lessons for our faith that we might actually be able to use. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake, and yet somehow at the same time, real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 1,800 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. And we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. You know, that thing that we do. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question about some of the things that we're talking about, maybe about a praise report, maybe about a prayer request. We'll do Bible trivia a little later on. Maybe you just got a question about the things that are going on around you, and you're just trying to get a handle on it. Whatever the case may be, you're welcome to reach out to us during the show, and we'll do our best to encourage you. That is our goal, to keep it simple, to keep it as simple as possible. We'd like you to call into 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Terrific T would answer the phone if you call in. You know what that's like? That's like getting an A on your paper. I got an A. Yeah! Then she turns you over to me, and that's like the teacher saying, time for a pop quiz. Okay. Not quite as fun. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can email in david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Before we get rolling, before we do the website, anything else? Want to give a couple of shout-outs. One, I want to thank Eric, one of our listeners, had a very nice text to me the other day. See, I try to get so much material in such a short time. You think, well, 90 minutes is a long time. Well, we said that about 60 minutes, about 90 minutes. And remember, for 5 years, I did 2 hours of live radio. So it's like squished it, squishing it. So just in lieu of his insight, I have taken a sign. I don't know if T can see it because it's kind of like underneath the mirror. And it says, slow down. Not under the window, under the mirror. Slow down. So I'm going to try and slow down a little bit.
I see it.
Yeah, you see it now? So there's a lot of material to cover. We can't cover it all in the 90 minutes, even in 120 minutes, even in 100 or 150 minutes. Or for that factor, I just can't cover it as fast as I want to. Just can't do it. So we're just going to do as much as we can, the best we can. Also, at 2:30 today, we have a special first-time guest, never been on the show, first time ever in the David Spoon Experience. So that'll be interesting. And then a few other things that we're going to take care of. Now we can do the website where you can give to us, if the Lord so leads you to hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, now we don't want you to feel like you're being manipulated to give, because I just really just dislike that stuff so much. In fact, whenever I write a paper where I'm doing my doctorate, I always say, you cannot guilt me because I grew up with a Jewish mom. You have no chance. I don't want you guys to operate under that premise at all. I want you to be led by the Spirit and to be a part of it. But if you're not giving to our ministry, which I totally understand, give to a ministry. Be a giver. Because God loves a cheerful giver, and he blesses people who operate. Remember, to the merciful, he shows himself merciful. To the kind, he shows himself kind. Okay, well, to the generous, I think you can fill in the blanks there. And so we ask you to do that. Now, on our end, we ask you, if you're not able to give, and even if you are able to give, we ask you to pray. We need prayer, 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 prayer. I started off doing the Book of Acts yesterday. For those that didn't get it, you can get the podcast just by going to hemusincrease.org. A lot of good initial information, tons of stuff. I suspect we'll be doing this book for quite some time. In the meantime, let's get to this next thing I want to talk about, which is really, I think, pretty awesome stuff. You ready for this? This is going to be a interesting teach, so to speak. This is starting out of Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Herod was deeply disturbed by their question, as was all Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law. "Where did the prophet say the Messiah would be born?" he asked them. Here's their answer. "In Bethlehem," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote." They're about to quote Micah chapter 5, verse 2. "O Bethlehem of Judah, you are not just a lowly village in Judah, for a ruler will come out of you who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Now, get this. I want you to really catch this. The people were called together. Herod is the king. King Herod brings the people together. He gets together the teachers of the law. He gets together the priests. He gets them together. He goes, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born? What is the deal on this whole Messiah thing?" And they pull up Micah chapter 5, verse 2, which is exactly correct. And here's something that will absolutely floor you. That prophecy was given almost 700 years before. Now watch this. The United States is 244 years old. All of our history as a country. Double that and add another three quarters on top of that. That's how long ago we're talking. 700 years ago. This prophecy was given, and now this prophecy was coming true. That's not what the most amazing thing is, although that's pretty amazing. What the most amazing thing is that the religious teachers and the leading priests, wait, get ready, they were right. They were correct. Pulling out Micah chapter 5, verse 2 was the verse. That was the best verse. And they're like, "Look, this is what the scripture says, that the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem." Here's what I want you to catch. You can study the scripture. You can read the scripture. You can memorize the scripture. You can quote the scripture. But that doesn't mean that you're getting Jesus. Because without the help of the Holy Spirit, without the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, you can read it, but it's just not making sense. In fact, in their minds, instead of seeing a Messiah, they saw a competitor. And that's what people do when they read the scriptures and they just don't process. They're not centered on Jesus Christ, so they don't read scripture through Jesus. They don't ask for the illumination of the Holy Spirit. They have no connection to the Father. They're just using it as basically a map to figure things out, but they're not giving any acknowledgement to God in any capacity. Now, God exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One essence, three persons. Here's the key. The scripture will do you a lot of good as long as you are engaged in it with God, for it's his word, and he blesses it to us that we might have understanding. Remember what happened with Jesus and the two guys on the road to Emmaus, how that he, after they broke bread, he opened their eyes so they can see what was going on, and all of a sudden they began to really get it all? Well, when you read, that's God engaging with you, sharing and teaching with you through the redeeming of work of Christ and by the power and the illumination that comes from the Holy Spirit. But you can still know Scripture and have no idea who God is. These guys did that. It's not just a matter of reading it to read it so you can turn around and say to your best buddy, I read it. It's reading it to hear the voice of God. It's reading the Word of God to hear God. It's reading to hear what God has to say. And we can really tell what's going on with Herod and with the religious leaders and the leading priests, because Herod, afterwards, he sends a private message to the wise men. It says, Herod sent a private message to the wise men asking them to come and see him. In the meeting, he learned the exact time where they first saw the star. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem, search carefully for the child. When you find him, come back and tell me so I can go and worship him too. He was lying. He was lying. He had false motives. He didn't care what the word said. He was trying to stop the process. Satan was using Herod to try and kill Jesus. What you got to get out of this is that when you go into the Word of God, there's a humble spirit that you have. You can be hungry. I hope you're hungry. You should be absolutely in love and delight in the law. We're going to talk about that in the second hour. But the bottom line is when you come to the Scripture, you need God to open it up to you so you can go, aha, aha, and it makes sense. Because without God giving that to you, you just do it wrong. You won't get it. You won't see the Jesus in the Scripture. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. When confronted by the unimaginable, look at how some of the Bible heroes responded. Abraham's wife, Sarah, laughed when the Lord promised her a son in old age. Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord answered. That's Genesis 18:13. Zechariah, priest in the temple, asked, how can I be sure of this to Gabriel? I am Gabriel, the angel answered. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Luke, this is out of Luke 1:19. In other words, God was saying, God can do this. Mary exclaimed, how are you going to do this? When Gabriel brought her that great news of her son that she would bear, the angel assured her, nothing, with God, nothing will be impossible. Luke 1:37. The disciples questioned Jesus, and he answered them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. The Lord reminded the prophet Jeremiah, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Jeremiah 32:27. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Praise to him who is able. Listen, this is Ephesians 3:20. Praise to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Finally, when life just seems impossible, we can memorize and believe and agree with the Apostle Paul's conclusion of all his personal struggles, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is in Philippians 4:13. Darkness comes. This is from John Piper, this next statement. Darkness comes. In the middle of it, the future looks blank. But with God, nothing is impossible. He has more ropes and ladders and tunnels out of pits than you can ever conceive of. So wait and pray without ceasing and hope. I think that this kind of thought process, it's not name it and claim it, it's just believing that God is the God that can do anything, is applicable for his kids to operate in when their situation seems impossible, that we deal in the truth of the possible that God brings.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, which I'm very glad to be in Texas. That's all I can say. You know, coming from California, then you come to Texas, we've been here like not quite 3.5 years. I just want to say, you guys have no idea. Unless you came out of California, I just got somebody had sent me a little picture about the gas prices where they're at, where I used to be, $5.87 a gallon. $5.87 a gallon.
I'd rather walk.
I mean, it's like, what? It's like, wow. Even in our heyday, that's just, wow. That's all I could say. All right, we're going to do our trivia question. $5.87. How's that?
A bike looks great right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's a lot of different. You know, you just want the Star Trek thing to work where they have the transporter at this point, because it's like, okay, this is getting crazy. All right, this is not a difficult one, but it gets things rolling, and I kind of like to do that. What was the name of the queen who was thrown out of a window? Apparently, they didn't have the good shutters or anything like that. What's the name of the queen who was thrown out of a window? If you think you know the answer, you can text in. See if I can get this right this time. 214-210-8483. Or you can call in 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. For those that are listening and they're like going, wait, are you like calmed down? Are you like on Downy drugs or something? It's like, no. I'm just trying to slow it down a little so that I don't get ahead of myself, because I do that quite a bit. In fact, I do it so much in school that I did my assignment, got everything done, and turned it all in on Tuesday last week. He graded it Tuesday night. Wednesday, I was like, now what? So it's like, I gotta be careful with some of that. All right. What are we doing? We did the website, right? Yeah, you want to do DNA or you want to, was it, yeah? Okay, let's do DNA. We're going to do DNA right now, so let's get that rolling. These are the reason this is important, by the way, the reason that DNA is important, and you think, well, you repeat it all the time, and it's like, well, while we're in this earthly tent, that's exactly what we need, is reminders, continual reminders. In fact, and I've mentioned this before, the real early evangelists, okay, it wasn't like the tent meetings that we think of now. The original evangelists in the early church were people who spoke inside the church, reminding people of the gospel. They were simply encouragers. That's what they did. And it's just a fascinating but deeply moving to understand that you are not only saved by the gospel, man, you are kept by that exact same gospel. How cool is that? But here, DNA, this is how we got to function. D, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Daily, day. I cannot say that enough. I'm writing a whole piece on this, on daily, 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 because we cannot function as Christians when it suits us. That's not Christianity. N out of DNA stands for never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. It's the breath that God has spoken and given for you and I to understand. It's fantastic. And if people are offended, that's sad. It's very sad, and Jesus will be sad for them, because Jesus doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But if they make that decision, that's their call. DN, and then the A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. To serve. Okay. To serve. Notice it doesn't say, we're not saying always be ready to reign over other people and tell them how to do things. Always be ready to give your opinion no matter what it is, no matter what the situation is, whether you have a valid point or not. Doesn't say that. Let's get ready to serve. That's it. Jesus came to serve. He could have, I mean, you know, you cannot say he could not have come in a reigning capacity, but the Son of Man came to serve and to save those who are lost.
Amen.
There you go. That's a good play right there. All right, where are we at? I don't even know what we're doing. What are we doing? Oh, I wanted to read this thing from Pastor Ray. Okay. Pastor Ray, my buddy, and I really love him. He's the senior pastor, Maranatha Chapel. I think he's kind of passing the baton, but I'm not telling anybody that. I didn't tell you that. So he's doing a little more writing. And this was something he wrote in his devotional. It's really, really good. It's called God Works Now. Right? Okay. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If only. We just talked about if onlys a couple days ago. If only God had intervened in time. If only he had acted now and didn't expect me to be comforted by some future promise of heaven. If only. Martha loved her brother Lazarus and had sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was gravely ill. But rather than hurry to his friend's bedside, Jesus waited. And by the time he arrived, Lazarus was gone. Martha was not so subtle, rebuking Jesus for waiting. And she did not understand his response. Your brother will rise again. Martha had faith in the past. She knew Jesus could have healed her brother because she had seen his miracles. She had some faith for the future, knowing and acknowledging, I know he'll rise again on the resurrection at the last day. But she forgot that God also lives, moves, and works in the now. This lesson is what Jesus wants to press into our hearts. He's speaking to some of his dearest friends. He wants to bring them and us into an experience with God in the present. I love that. I mean, I wish, Ray, if there was one thing you can just write out in gold, that would be it. He wants to bring them and us into an experience with God in the present. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said to Martha. Martha forgot that the name of God is not I was or I will. His name is I am. So good. And he wants us to believe that everything he has done in the past, everything he has promised in the future, he can also do here and now. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Jesus asked his friend. And then he raised Lazarus from the dead. As we prepare to celebrate the resurrection, let God enter your life now and believe that he cares about now, about what happens to you today, this minute. God is ready to help you right now. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Today is the day of salvation. The reason that I bring this up is because there is, in our life, in our journey, a reality check that there are things that are coming. And we know they're coming. We know there's an eternal reward. We know there's a city that the pavement is gold. We know we'll be dancing on streets of gold. And there is testimony in our own lives of the hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands of things that God has done in the past. But we cannot forget that he is the great I am. He is, in fact, the great I will be and the great I was in the context of he's done things in the past and will do things in the future. But he is known as the great I am, and that's how he wants his people to know him. Don't think that everything God's going to do is going to be a bazillion miles away. Have a higher level of expectation. It might not come in the timing you think, and it might not come in the methodology, which after 42 years of being a Christian, I think that's probably the number one thing I've learned in God's response to me is his methods are way, way different than the way I would think it would be done. I mean, way different. But he always gets it done because he's faithful and he's true. And I can count on that, and you can count on that. And I think that the whole point Ray is making is get it now in your brain now that God is a God of now, as well as tomorrow. You understand that? Of course he's going to cover your future. Of course he's helped you in the past. But he'll help you now, too. Okay? Ready for somebody to answer the trivia question? Are we ready? Here we go. Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is John Todd.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I am doing fantastic. It's wonderful to hear your voice, by the way.
Well, thank you very much, very much. I too am glad to be in Texas.
I know you are. Coming out of California,
I'm coming out of Ohio, so yeah.
Yeah, it's here. It's different, isn't it?
It is, but you know what? The people are so friendly, and we've really enjoyed our time here. We've been here since December. We've moved here, and it's been really great. I'm serious. About the only thing we'll miss a couple things, but the only thing we mostly miss are the people back home. That's all.
Yeah.
But it's been great.
Awesome. That's really good, and I am glad to hear that. All right, are you ready to answer the trivia as well? Can you answer the trivia?
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead and do it. We'll do it kind of officially. All right. What was the name of the queen who was thrown out of the window?
All right, that would be Jezebel.
That is correct, sir. You are right. That is 100% on target. Yeah, what we'll do is we always redo the question so the people who are listening, they can hear it, and then they get the answer connected to it. But, yeah, she was thrown out of the window. I've always maintained they didn't have very good shutters. So they just tossed her out.
Right. It might have been confused with the young man in the book of Acts that fell out of the window.
Exactly. One of my favorite portions, because Paul apparently had preached for anywhere between 8 and 12 hours, yet not one word of that message is recorded, which is rather funny because people always preach a long time, and it's like, long time doesn't mean it's getting recorded.
Right. But you know, he probably had preached the same message many times, so everybody probably thought, well, you know, we're just going to hear it again, so it really won't matter. But yeah.
That's great. Excellent job, my brother. Excellent work in the call in and excellent job on answering the trivia question.
Well, thank you much. Maybe I'll call again.
Okay, God bless you.
All right, God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Excellent. See, doesn't matter where you come from. You get to Texas, you're like, boy, I'm glad I'm here. Ohio, that's a good place to be from, just like Michigan. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break. Top of the hour, we'll be back for more. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am, you reach down.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to understand. Bad news does not necessitate that there is nowhere else to go except to weep. In Psalm 112, verse 7, the scripture says, "He will not fear bad news. His heart is confident, trusting in the Lord." It's not pie in the sky to look at the situation and go, "Gosh, it's terrible, but I'm going to hold hope because hope is the only thing I have to move past it. If it never comes about, that's fine, but I'm going to live every day believing that there's a better tomorrow. When people think of that, they think, "Oh, Christianity, it's a crutch. It's the opiate of the people," is what Karl Marx said. It takes more guts, more strength, more determination in this day and age to be a Christian and to stand in your faith than it does to be any other thing that there is, because it's the Christians who are under persecution and it's the people of faith that are getting slaughtered. And oh, by the way, throughout the world that's taking place.